By a grant from RE/MAX Realty Associates, currently handling over 30% of the real estate sales transactions in Champaign County. 352-5700. Nobody sells more real estate than RE/MAX, and they encourage you to join them in supporting public broadcasting. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Christie Clinic, with offices in Champaign, Urbana, Rantoul, and Mahomet, providing quality health care to the residents of Central Illinois. Focus 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, homemade pies by Inge, gourmet foods, cards and gifts, as well as creative crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, the Bean Scene Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass, all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello.
Good morning and welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to the show the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. And for a long time now, he's been stopping by once a month. We always do this on the first Wednesday. And we talk about cooking. And we always have a good time picking some topic and taking it apart and talking about cooking experiences and exchanging recipes. Sometimes I think he is as interested, maybe even more interested, in the stories that go with the recipes than the recipes themselves. But he certainly is interested in the recipes, and we have collected a lot over the years. And what we do is we take some subject, and usually it's something that Doyle comes up with, and says, well, why don't we talk about this? And we've talked about different ingredients, different styles of cooking, cooking from different parts of the United States and different parts of the world. And although there's no rules, that we often go beyond where we start, but that's fine. You know, we're certainly interested in the input of people who are listening. And this time around, he said, well, why don't we talk about tomatoes? We're now coming into the summer. And one thing about summer that a lot of people really look forward to is having great produce, either something that they grow themselves in their own garden or something they go down to the farmer's market and purchase, or wherever it is you buy. And I'm sure for a lot of people, one of the things that they look forward to the most, tomatoes, really good tomatoes. Because as we all know, you know, most of the time in January, you go into the grocery store, I'm sorry, they have things that resemble tomatoes. They call them tomatoes. But, you know, when you set that aside with what you could grow yourself or what you get at the farmer's market, you know, they just don't cut it. I would just as soon say, oh, forget it. I'll have one in July. I don't need one now. So that's the question. Once we have really great tomatoes, what will you do with them? Share a recipe with us. Or if you just want to call in and say hi, you could do that too. 333-9455. Also, toll free, 800-222-9455. Welcome back.
Well, yes, thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
So you're looking forward to probably a lot of other things, but you're looking forward to tomatoes?
Well, I'm looking forward to them. And generally, those people who grow tomatoes always end up with too many, and they always give them to their neighbors. And that's why I said, you know, the thought is, what are you going to do with all those tomatoes? Well, they're going to be there. I mean, some people, the tomato is the most favorite vegetable in America right now. Hmm. However, that was not always true. But it is now. It's the most favorite vegetable. And your problem of not getting a good tomato in the middle of the winter is true. And if you will listen carefully to the folks on the Food Channel, they'll say, don't even bother. Canned tomatoes are fine. And they are picked at the height of ripeness, and they're canned, and they're good, and you're going to cook them up anyway. Use those, because you're simply not going to enjoy it if you make it with that cardboard, that yellow-green cardboard. Mm-hmm. And they're absolutely right. There is a small alternative, and I don't really know the answer as to why Roma tomatoes are available every month of the year. Romas are extremely good, and they will bring themselves to a riper state if you buy them and set them on your windowsill, mm-hmm. the way people have always done. And this is done. I have a friend who keeps a constant supply of Roma tomatoes. They're always there. You think that she isn't using them, but the truth is they're replaced, and they're always quite delicious, and so that is one little variant. The other is that that you if you grow your own tomatoes, you won't get any until after the 4th of July.
Right.
That's which kind of is a problem because I want them on the 4th of July, you know. And since we do ship crops from places that will grow them earlier, we can have homegrown tomatoes earlier. So, yeah, it was just a thought that tomatoes are such a we take them so much for granted right now, and as we were chatting earlier, that the tomato is a New World product. However, they were only about as big as the cherry tomatoes you buy. The original tomato that may have come from Peru. They're not. I mean, yeah, they did, but whether that was the origin of them, that's not really known. They came from Peru, and they were taken back to Europe in the 16th century with the conquistadors, and that's how tomatoes got out of the Americas. But no one here would eat them, and they were very popular in Portugal, Spain, and Italy, but they would not be admired in the northern part of Europe at all. The French called them the love apple, and I'm not sure why, unless I believe they thought that it had an aphrodisiacal quality, and the English wouldn't eat them at all because they knew that they were related to
the nightshade.
Nightshade, the purple nightshade, and indeed they are. And I remember being told as a child that you dare not plant purple nightshade or plant the tomatoes near purple nightshade, and I remember these ladies next door were very fussy about that. Of course, everyone had purple nightshade. It's true. In Kansas and Oklahoma, that was one of your main growing root or crops, or in the yards. But I remember being told that was, I think probably 1938. I was told that, and I knew that was. And we were eating tomatoes anyway, but it wasn't until Thomas Jefferson brought tomatoes from France because they had some there. He brought those along with the French fries. That's one of the reasons we have French fries and tomatoes in America. But no one paid any attention to it. That was in the 18th century, mm-hmm. I think 1781. And no one paid any attention to them. He had them. And they were grown. They were brought to America by the colonists as decorative plants, not to eat, because the English would not eat them, but they were decorative plants. So we had them here, but no one would do anything about them. And the first sort of official use of the tomato was 1815, when the Creoles began to make the gumbos. And that became very popular to do, and tomatoes were added to the gumbos. And then it slowly crept, but all of the perfection of the tomato is an American invention. We're the ones that have made burpee big boys and big girls and all of those. And I enjoy now the rage to have heritage tomatoes. One of the reasons, and one of the things that I got mixed up with, was tomatoes have a natural acid. They're very high in acid, but they have bred the acid out of the tomatoes, and that's gone, and you almost can't can tomatoes, you know, because they'll spoil. And so that disappoints me just a little bit, and I'm thinking about those. But the real reason that I wanted to talk about tomatoes is that I had a very successful couple of meals this last 2 weeks, of which I dealt with a tomato, and it was so good. And I have to blame, who can I blame? I think it's Tyler Florence that has a recipe. He called them. I don't know what he called them, but tomatoes cooked in the Provençal style are generally cut in half and then filled with breadcrumbs and parsley and then a little olive oil, and then they're baked. But generally the recipe is just simply, well, pop them in the oven, bake them a while, and take them out. When you do that, I've been always disappointed with them because the skins sort of begin to separate from the flesh on the outside, and that's always a little bit messy to try to cut and eat, and they're very juicy, and then they spill all over the place, and they're just kind of like warmed up tomatoes, you know. That was it. Well, somehow I found this recipe, I think, of Tyler Florence, where he baked he cut them in half and then scooped out with his fingers, he scooped out all the juice. Which meant that some of those veins in it, and they were large tomatoes, and they were cut in half. So that's another shape. And then he did put just a few breadcrumbs on, but he baked them for 3 hours at 300, which somehow I think is a little bit too high. So I baked mine I took the Romas and took a spoon and scraped out the inside so you had just the outside shell, because the stuff on the inside wasn't very much, had the shell, and put those with the face up and put those straight into the oven at 250. And I baked them for 250 for an hour, and they slowly, slowly, slowly began to reduce and, in a sense, wanted to become like a sun-dried tomato, you know, that you can also cook those in the oven, and so then they cooked down for an hour, and then I mixed together some panko, which is an awfully good flavor and texture of breadcrumbs, the Japanese breadcrumbs, panko, P-A-N-K-O. With olive oil and a lot of parsley, and I filled those then, and sprinkled a little bit of Parmesan cheese on top, popped them back in the oven at 350 for 25 minutes. Oh, they were pretty good, because they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They were leathery and not juicy. They were leathery and concentrated their flavors. It was almost as though you had taken a sun-dried tomato and stuffed it, and which would be also a very good thing to do, except the ones that you buy are so little and flat and thin, you can't do much with them. But that's what I did, and that was so good, I did it again, and everyone liked it. And so I thought, well, hey, this is something that you can do. And to me, or for me, it is a little bit of a variation of the Provençal style, but it's done a lot slower and it takes a little bit longer. But it isn't a problem. It's just time. It isn't a matter of that you have to do a lot of fussing with it. So that's the reason we're talking about tomatoes today.
All right. Well, we're looking for your tomato stories and recipes. Doyle Moore is here, the man we like to call our chef in residence. It's an unofficial title, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes, it is. Although I think by tradition it's going to be official.
Could be. It's what, you know what they say. No, never mind. And he is here, generally speaking, the first Wednesday of the month, and we pick out a topic and talk about that and always have a good time talking about food and cooking and recipes. 333-9455 is the local number, toll-free 800-222-9455. And we just want to know, you know, once we get to the point here in the summer when you can get really good tomatoes, maybe you will go to the farmer's market, maybe you will grow them yourself. What Doyle wants to know is, well, what are you going to do with them? Now that you have them. And we have a caller here in Champaign. Let's talk with them. Line one. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is not just for tomatoes, but I find the tomatoes to be the really sort of the highlight of it.
Yes.
It's called Mama Ariev's Stuffed Vegetables.
Oh.
It's A-R-I-E-W is the name.
I-E-W.
And it's from an employee of mine when she worked in the classics library, came from her husband's mother.
Mm-hmm.
You take about 3 pounds of ground beef.
Yes.
4 green peppers cored.
And 4 green peppers.
4 to 6 small zucchinis cut in half. That's in the center so that you've got 2 pieces, not...
So you want the small ones?
Well, ones that you can stuff.
Yeah, so you don't have to scrape the seeds out.
Yeah, you core them.
Oh, you do core the zucchini.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And 4 to 6 tomatoes, young ones or even green, cored with the caps saved.
Oh, yes, and saved.
One tablespoon. Am I going too fast?
No, I've got it.
1 tablespoon of minced onion.
Mm-hmm.
Or... 1/2 teaspoon of onion powder. I don't like that.
Yeah, I like minced onion.
3/4 to 1 tablespoon of parsley.
Parsley, yes.
1.5 to 2 tablespoons of rice.
Uncooked?
Uncooked.
Now, what was that amount again of rice?
1.5 to 2 tablespoons.
Okay.
Big tea. 1.5.
Yes, 1.5 to 2 big teas, yes.
Salt and pepper to taste.
S's and P's, yes.
1/4 teaspoon of ground cumin.
Oh, cumin. Mm-hmm.
2 eggs.
Oh.
1 to 2 pieces of bread soaked in water.
And bread soaked in water, all right.
Yeah. And you save the tomato pulp for later.
Mm-hmm.
Another step. You put the ground beef in a big mixing bowl, add the eggs and the soaked bread, and you knead with your hands.
Okay, the bread and the eggs and the meat, okay.
Yeah. The texture should be moist, and you adjust to taste, adding bread more if you want, mm-hmm. or salt and pepper, onion, any of the rest of that. You stuff the tomatoes with this stuffing first.
All right.
Then add the tomato pulp from that you saved and the rice to the meat stuffing. Before stuffing the rest.
Oh, okay. Then add that rice. So you got the rice and the tomato juices and stuff, yes.
Yeah. And you prick a tiny hole in the bottom of the vegetables that you stuff so that you can put a little bit more in there, and it kind of lets the juice out.
The juice dribble out the bottom, yes.
And you put the caps on the top of the tomatoes
mm-hmm.
to make them moister while they're cooking. Put these all in a low, flat, uncovered baking dish.
Okay, low, flat, yes.
With a little bit of water.
In the dish.
Yeah. Peppers are placed top down, tomatoes are upright.
Say it again. Peppers are put upside down?
Yeah, top down.
Now, they don't have their lids on them, do they?
No,
that was just sliced off, was it? We only saved the lids on the tomatoes.
You core them carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And you just put the zucchini that you've stuffed where you cored them out, you just lay them in there.
Okay.
You cook for about 1 hour at 350.
1 hour at 350. That ought to do it, yes.
And it serves 4 to 6 people, it says.
That means they're all going to get a zucchini and a green pepper and a tomato.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can cut this in half for 2 people.
Now, I don't see any spices in there, like herbs.
No.
No, there's not
parsley.
That. So it's parsley will do that. So it's really just beef and onion and parsley.
And
then the rice adds a little bit of body to it.
Yep. And cumin.
And oh yes, cumin. That's what it was. It was cumin.
And you have to be careful. Find out if people like that first.
I think they generally do. You aren't going to put too much in, and a mild taste of cumin is really quite desirable.
Oh, it's lovely,
isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, ground cumin. Well, that's really very good. A R I E W.
Yes, pronounced Ariev.
Ariev. Ariev, stuffed Ariev vegetables.
I think it's Greek by way of Egypt and France.
Oh.
To the States.
Well.
If I understood what they told me.
Ariev, okay. Well, thank you very much. That's really quite delicious.
Okay.
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Thanks. here this morning on Focus 580. It's the first Wednesday, and it has been for a long time. Our pleasure to be talking about cooking on this day. And with this guy, we call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, and his thought was, let's talk about tomatoes, because soon, maybe not soon enough for a lot of people, but soon there will be really great tomatoes available. And he's saying, well, okay, what are you going to do? If we could present you now with a bushel of just fabulous tomatoes right now, today, what would you do with them? 333-9455, also toll-free 800-222-9455. I think, to me, the thing that's really interesting and exciting is the idea that now we do have more variety of tomatoes that are available. And, you know, sometimes in the past you'd look at cooking magazines, and in the summertime you'd see these fabulous tomato salads that had,
oh yes,
12 different varieties of tomatoes, different shapes and colors, and just sliced and plated, and maybe with some kind of little bit of dressing, you know, a little olive oil, balsamic vinegar, or something like that. And you think, well, great, now I'd like to make that, but where am I going to get the tomatoes?
All the different ones.
All the different ones. And now I think more and more at our farmer's market, you can get a greater range of tomatoes so that you can do that. And, of course, if you want to grow your own, you can do that too. But if you don't want to go to that much trouble, I think it's also getting easier to be able to go out and buy varieties, not just the big beefsteak tomatoes, but things in different sizes, shapes, colors, little sort of one green ones that look like watermelons.
Oh, yes, and so those stripedy ones.
Those stripedy ones, and that are green inside, that are really nice, and yellow ones of different shapes, and red ones of different shapes, so that you can actually now maybe make that fabulous tomato salad by going out and actually buying the tomatoes locally.
Have you ever made, what is it called, panzanella?
No, I have not.
That's the Tuscan bread tomatoes. I think they want to call it bread soup, even. I think it's called bread soup, but it's not soupy. It's a salad, panzanella. Mm-hmm. I don't have the recipe except in my mind. I had it in California. I guess 2 years ago was the first time I had it, and it's chunked tomatoes. They're broken up in chunks. They're not peeled. Tomatoes and cucumbers, of course, and there might be some. I don't think there's any green pepper in there. There'll be onions, either thinly sliced or a lot of green onions. I'm very fond of onions in something like that, and then chunks of bread, which want to be a very hearty bread that you make 1-inch pieces. And depends on whether you're the person who dries them or toasts them. They can be either way. So you're really making, and then with lemon juice that might be pointed up a little bit with vinegar and olive oil, and probably chopped basil and a lot of parsley would do. Do you have a recipe there for it?
Well, yes, this is one and it's very similar to what you've just outlined. This is from Epicurious, and it calls for day-old crusty bread, 2 tomatoes, 3/4 cup sliced cucumber, 1/2 cup sliced red onion, and then 1/2 cup extra virgin olive oil, 2 tablespoons red wine vinegar, and 10 fresh basil leaves shredded. And basically what you do is you just cut the pieces up and dress them with the dressing, and there you go.
It's very plain in that way, except there is something about fresh basil and tomatoes.
They were made for each other.
I don't know any variations of that, but I could imagine that if you had to, you could sprinkle pine nuts in it. And I think you could also probably get by with a little bit of cheese. You might want to shave some Parmesan cheese on top. Would be pretty nice. But this salad, generally you make it early in the morning and then you're going to eat it later in the day. So it somehow combines itself together quite well. Mm-hmm. Panzanella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if I could get some really good tomatoes and I could get fresh basil, I think one of the first things I would want to do is just to do pasta and make a very light, simple tomato sauce.
Oh, yes.
With the basil, and just slap that on some linguine or something, and just there I'd be ready to go.
Well, I'll see you one and raise you one. If I could get a fresh tomato now, there is nothing. Well, No, I can't say that. I like every one of these dishes that we think about. But peel the tomato, and you know how to peel it in boiling water.
Right.
And you really kind of want that don't have the skin around. Peel the tomato, big slice of tomato, a slice of buffalo mozzarella cheese, and a whole leaf of basil, and then just drizzle olive oil over it. Ooh.
Well,
could make a meal out of that.
As you are an old Italian guy.
Yeah, yes, us old Italians.
Us old Italian guys.
We know that one.
We know that one. 333-9455 is the Champaign Urbana number, toll-free 800-222-9455. We have a caller here in Aurora to talk with on our toll-free line, line 4. Hello.
Well, I just enjoy regular scalloped tomatoes. No fancy recipe. I just like scalloped tomatoes.
Well, how do you make them?
Just, you know, saute the onions and the breadcrumbs together.
Okay, onions and breadcrumbs, yes.
And then I put the tomatoes in. I can't remember. I haven't made it since last year. And then just bake it or cook it slowly on the stove. Nothing fancy, and it just suits me.
And then what do you do with the tomatoes? Do you chunk them up or slice them?
I think I chunk them up.
So that you've got, okay, so you've got a nice little shapes in there. All right, chunks of tomatoes.
And I think if you use the plum tomatoes, they're not as watery.
No, they aren't. They are very fleshy, and there isn't a lot of juice, so it won't drain out and make it real soupy.
Mm-hmm. I know you weren't talking about tomatoes, but I have put in a new tomato, a black creme, K-R-I-M.
Huh.
And the back of it says, the black creme is an early, flavorful heirloom tomato from the Crimea.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Peninsula of Russia. It has a rich, earthy taste. The fruit is medium beefsteak size and sets well in heat. Heavy producer. It's black on the outside with shades of red.
Wow, a black creme. I don't think I've seen that yet. Hmm. Don't know about that.
There was another tomato I wanted to get, but I didn't. I just think it's such a luxury when you have tomatoes in November and December. And that was the one that I wanted to put in that you can keep till November and December.
Oh, you mean you pick them and then,
yeah,
and then cover them with newspaper and put them in the basement?
Yeah. And I just think that's the greatest luxury.
Well, I think you're probably quite right. Black creme. I'll look for that. That's going to be a neat thing to look for.
Yes, and I was very happy when I found them because not a lot of people keep them. But I'll tell you, I know you shouldn't advertise, but I did get them at the Jewel.
Oh, well.
I looked around a couple of places and couldn't find them, but they had them very nicely.
No, you got seeds or plants?
Plants.
You got the plants.
Yeah, I got the plants.
So that means that they're readily available in some ways. Oh,
oh
great.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think it's a good idea.
And the other tomato that I haven't put in, you can get, it's called Red October.
All right.
But I haven't put them in because I, like everybody else, you're almost too busy.
Red October.
So it's nice to talk to you again.
Yes, thank you very much. And thank you for your recipe.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Other people who are listening, if you have a tomato recipe that you'd like to tell us about or something else that has to do with tomatoes, that's kind of what we're talking about here this morning, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. And I am looking here at a particular website where they have heirloom tomatoes.
Oh.
Apparently, they do sell seeds of this particular variety and a lot of others as well, the black creme, and that is K-R-I-M, which they say, yes, is an heirloom tomato from the Black Sea of Russia. They say it's ugly but delicious. Dark, deep red with heavy green shoulders, interior deep reddish-brown color. that it's sweet, and then it gets darker in hot weather. It says it's prone to cracking, slow to germinate, but it is there. And apparently there are some other varieties that are said to be black. They don't really – and there was a picture of one of them here. And it's not actually – it's not black, but it looks like it has a lot of dark shading on it. So you would still look at it and say, well, that was a tomato. There's another variety that's called DeBarro Black. It said that they have the flavor of the black creme. There also apparently there's one called a black plum tomato. So those are things that I don't know if you can actually, if you're lucky enough to be able to go out there and find a plant already, you could do that. But also I'm sure that if you have internet access, you could find places where you could get the seeds, and then you'd have to start them yourself. Let's talk with somebody else here.
In an eggshell.
In an eggshell?
Yes, you break the eggshell in half, and you fill that with the dirt, and you put the seed in that, and you put them back in the egg basket.
Oh,
and you've got a starter for your seeds, because the shell will break off, or the shell will just disintegrate after a while.
Very clever. All right, let's go to line one here, Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, I would suggest that the best basil to use when you're putting the olive oil and the tomatoes together is the cinnamon basil.
Cinnamon basil.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
It's a little spicier. And, again, not to advertise, but I got some good plants at Prairie Garden on Sunday.
I saw their basil plants out there. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, but look for the cinnamon.
Cinnamon basil.
Yeah, try that.
I think I may have even looked at it and sort of sniffed at it and went on.
Thought to yourself, now what the heck am I going to do?
Well,
with
there are so many basils, and you're quite right to examine a bunch of different ones. It took me a long time to accept the purple one, but the purple ruffly one is really, really very good. Except I don't like the way it looks. In a salad, it's too dark and confuses me with red leaf lettuce, and so I kind of semi ignore that. Except it grows better. It grows really good here. The black opal, and the cinnamon. I get all that stuff confused with all of the geraniums that have all of those extra flavors added to them. But I'll look for that cinnamon basil. Yes.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, okay. Other folks who are listening, we'd be very happy to hear from you. Have a tomato story or recipe, or you just want to say hello. This is our monthly program on cooking. We do it on the first Wednesday in the 10 o'clock hour with Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence. We always have a good time talking about cooking and exchanging recipes and cooking stories. 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, and that is good. Anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. And his thought was that we'd have a little tomato talk this morning. People, I'm sure, are anticipating having good ones. So his thought was, okay, once you can get them, really good tomatoes, what is it that you're really looking forward to making? What's the first thing that if we could provide you with some really good tomatoes, what was the first thing that you would want to make?
I'll tell you.
Yes?
I have it right here in one of my favorite cookbooks. I brought this. It took me a while to find it this morning, but I did find the book. A friend of mine produced this book in 1986, so it's called White Trash Cooking. And what it is really a compendium of folk recipes from southern United States. And the funny thing is, I know about eating this particular sandwich. It's called a kitchen sink tomato sandwich. I think the title says it all. But here are the wonderful instructions that Ernest Meichler has put together. In the peak of the tomato season, chill one very large or two medium tomatoes that have been vine-ripened and have a good acidy bite to their taste. Take two slices of bread, coat them with a quarter inch of good mayonnaise, and on one piece of bread, slice the tomato a fourth of an inch thick, salt and pepper that layer, then add another layer of sliced tomato, and again salt and pepper. Place the other piece of bread on top of this, roll up your sleeves, and commence to eat over the kitchen sink while the juice runs down your elbows. The truth of the matter is there's no way to eat a tomato sandwich except over the sink, because it is going to be runny, it is going to be juicy, but oh, is it good. It is it good. I'm waiting for someone to call in. Now, you see, we've talked about tomatoes before, mm-hmm. and my defense against that is there's only 12 programs a year, and we've been doing this for 27 years.
How many different things can you find to talk about?
Exactly. Right. So I don't mind returning because I have such a good time talking about them with somebody. And I remember the last program, somebody said, well, I don't see anything wrong with just going out in the garden and getting a tomato and eating it. And that's really a luxury.
That is a luxury.
And that is a taste you cannot. I don't know if it has to do with the presence of the esters or not. You know, those are those little things that no one knows anything about, that as soon as you pick a whatever it is, then there is a chemical change that happens in it, both in corn and tomatoes and those things. That's why you want to rush them. But to eat them and they're still warm in the sun, I know mm-hmm. you like that particular.
I still remember. I know I've told this story before. It was the first time that I ever grew them. It was a long time ago. It was Mrs. Inge and I were renting this house over in Champaign, and there was a little place that where we could till up the soil. So I thought, well, okay, let's do this. And I had, you know, I guess I was sort of indifferent to tomatoes. Yeah, I mean, tomatoes were fine. You know, I was not a great fan. But I did plant a really nice variety of the big beefsteak. Uh-huh. And I'm telling you, I still remember going out there the first time and picking the tomato right off the plant and bringing it in and slicing it and eating it. And it was like a religious experience.
And the aroma from your brushing, when you brush your hands over the leaves, they exude an oil and an aroma that is just exotic. And you've got that and the warmth of the sun and the flavor of the tomato. You could almost get selfish.
Like you wouldn't want to share that with
like
anybody?
You wouldn't want to even let anyone else know that it existed. It's so good.
That's right. And I'm sure that people will say, you know, when will say that, but I can go to the farmer's market and get good tomatoes. And
they are.
And
yes.
Growing tomatoes, yeah. It's a lot of trouble, and you know, it ends up costing me more. And you have to say all of that. Well, sure, that's fine, but there's still nothing like the experience of being able to take it, pick it off the plant, bringing in and eating it. And I think that that's, you know, people who grow their own tomatoes, I think that's part of it is just the fun of doing it, knowing that this amazing experience of taking something from a little plant or maybe from a seed and then having it get to be a big plant and eventually producing fruit. There's something magical about it.
Well,
and I think a lot of people just, you know, for the fun and the satisfaction, but being able to pick it off the plant, there's nothing that compares with that.
Well, that's why us hunters and gatherers turned into agriculturists.
Us old Italian guys, we planted our tomatoes and then we got some cows so we could make
cows,
mozzarella
exactly.
cheese. And
that's it. No, you had to get a water buffalo.
Well, I guess traditionally, yes, but I think nowadays—
Cows hadn't been imported yet.
Now, we imported the cows because the buffalo were too hard to deal with. And we started making mozzarella, and then we had to have olives so we could have olive oil to put on this.
Exactly.
So once we got that whole thing put together,
it never got better.
It was a great dish.
No, that's true. It never got better.
That's true.
That is exactly it. Oh, boy.
Well, we have about 15 minutes left. If somebody would like to call in, share some tomato talk with us or a tomato recipe, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455.
I was talking with a friend about a sort of a continuation of tomato stuff. Mm-hmm. I think Strawberry Fields sells a tomato pesto, which is made up of sun-dried tomatoes. And that ground and add some nuts and some cheese and some greens and some basil. And see, that's one step past the fresh tomato. And the preserving of the tomato with drying is really, really wonderful.
Hmm. You get this really concentration of the
flavor. Yes, and it's a totally different taste, and it's a very enriching taste. Before we completely quit, I do want to quickly throw in something before we talk to the next person.
Okay.
The idea of preserving the tomato, I remember in one of the last shows, I suggested that just popping the tomato into the freezer. Of course, what you have to do is cut the core out. And by cutting the core out of the tomato, you release the pressure inside the tomato, and it won't explode. And you put the whole thing in and let it get cold. Then you can put it into plastic bags and store it for a bit. And I remember a lot of people were, you wouldn't do it that way. Well, I got a phone call that said, you were right. And it works perfectly, because then you have a whole tomato that you take out and then you chunk up as you're cooking with it. Oh, and it's just another one of those things that you can do. And it stores it in a different way and is very, very easy to do. So to save the tomatoes when they get there at the best, do freeze them whole. But cut the core out so they don't explode.
All right.
Or else you'll have tomato explosion all over the inside.
It could be a mess. All right. Let's talk with some people here. First, someone in Sydney, line one. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
My recipe is from a 2000 May food and wine book, and it goes along with Doyle's last discussion of freezing tomatoes, because I grow a few too many tomatoes, and I often freeze them, although you can make this with fresh tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I use it with the frozen tomatoes, I peel the tomatoes in boiling water and weigh them as I put them in the plastic bag. So during the winter months, you can just pull them out and throw them in and start this soup.
Oh, yes.
But if you start, what you do is take about 1.75 pounds of ripe tomatoes, and I've used any kind, heirloom or Romas or whatever, and you peel them if you're starting fresh and chop them up a bit. You take a large covered saucepan with a couple tablespoons of vegetable oil, large tea, and a teaspoon of mustard seeds.
Oh, yes.
And you sort of pop the mustard seeds.
Yes.
And you cook them until the popping stops.
Yes.
And then you add a medium onion, finely chopped, and stir until it's soft, about 5 minutes. And then you put in 1/2 teaspoon of ground coriander with 1/4 teaspoon of turmeric and 2 dried red chilies. And you cook and stir these just about a minute, just until you can smell them
yes.
nicely. And then you put in 1/4 cup of rinsed red lentils.
Oh, 1/4 cup of red lentils, yes.
Right. Stir them in, and you put in, then add your tomatoes, and either add 6 cups of water, but I usually use 6 cups of chicken broth, but either
uh-huh.
is really satisfactory. And you just simmer it over moderately low heat until the lentils fall apart, about 45 minutes. And
uh-huh.
this is a delicious tomato soup that at least you can think about the summer when you're making it in the winter after you're getting fresh tomatoes.
You have just described a classic recipe of northern India.
Uh-huh.
And that little sauce that you make with the vegetable oil and mustard seeds and
yes.
chopped onions and coriander and chilies is absolutely one of the most important pieces from that. That's called a vagar.
Uh-huh.
And then the tomatoes go in it. And then what'll happen, and you've noticed this, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
is that you'll cook the tomatoes, and they'll all cook down, and you begin to get those little bubbles in the tomatoes before you add the water
yes.
or anything. And they want to open up like a little volcano
mm-hmm.
and absolutely pop steam out of the top mm-hmm. of them. And as soon as that's all done, then that's the first, all of the cooking is done. Then you add the liquid to it, and it makes this soup. You have just recombine an absolutely superb Gujarat style of dish. Thank you.
Well, this is a wonderful recipe.
Oh, it is.
Either hot or cold, and it's a great way to use up your tomatoes that you've thrown in the bag and frozen.
Well, it's the basis. There is only one thing that is missing from this, and think about this: the addition of peppers, either a green pepper or a jalapeno.
Well, no, this
to
you do put in two dried red chilies.
Oh, you got the red chilies.
Yeah,
that's right.
The red chilies.
The red chilies, they are in there.
Right.
That's right. There
you
they
put
are.
Put that in with your spices. And it is you can put in more and make it quite a spicy soup, but it's a delicious combination.
And then the lentils cook down and become a thickening.
Right.
And so this sounds so good.
It is. It's absolutely wonderful.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I enjoy this.
Your show.
All right, let's go to the next caller in Hoopston. This is line number two. Hello.
Hi. You hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, this is a little incident from the late 1930s.
Yes.
But it has to do with tomatoes.
Yes.
My brother and I were young. We lived on this new house in an area of Evergreen Park at that time that was nothing but prairie. And there were a few truck farms around, and there were a lot of Dutch farmers. And we had a dog, Patty, and my brother and I used to steal the salt and pepper off the kitchen table, take it out behind the fence, and our dog would go get us, believe it or not, bright red tomatoes. My brother and I just really enjoyed it. We never forgot that, and there's all kinds of stories about those good old days.
Oh.
But that's one of my top ones.
Oh,
I don't know how the dog got the idea. I suppose watching us eat them, but. Anyway, that's a true story.
A tomato retriever.
Retriever. That's a very good story, and I'm familiar with the area you're speaking of. So yes, those truck farms were very important then.
Yeah.
Oh.
And to this day, we love tomatoes.
Oh, I should think you would. Oh, save that dog. That's a good thing to remember.
Thank you
very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for the story. Well, let's go on here. We have someone calling
from the Chicago
area here, line number four. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I just heard you all last 10 minutes or so, and that lady's recipe for the vaga, is it?
A vagar.
Vagar.
I called it
sounds
a vagar.
Very good.
Doesn't that sound good?
Frozen tomatoes to me are foreign. I'm Italian American.
Yes.
And we always had a vegetable garden.
Oh, yes, it'd be fresh.
And I think the beefsteak tomatoes are the best myself. And freezing tomatoes are foreign to me. And of course, we didn't have freezers then.
That is probably what keeps it from being as popular as well. It's not even popular here, except we do have the ability to freeze the tomatoes.
Yeah.
And I know that people are stunned.
We used to bottle them, you know.
Oh, yes.
That's how we did them.
Yes, that's a way.
And then also dried them.
And the dried ones,
for,
yes.
For tomato paste.
Well, I'll tell you what. You try freezing a good big one and
take the core out.
And just take the core out so that it doesn't explode and freeze it solid in the air, as it were, and then package it up and put it away, and it will last for quite some time, and you'll be surprised how what the texture and flavor of that frozen tomato, because you're going to you cannot use it as a sliced tomato on the table anymore. It has to be cooked into stews and such things.
Yeah.
So it would have to be cooked.
But I wanted to mention just some quick things. I wish I, you know, had written down, was able to write down what that lady had said, but maybe I could look that up in a library. V-A-G-A-R.
No.
No?
I'll tell you what. I have written it down, and we translate the tapes of this, and the recipes will be made available to you. You just call the, or write. What's the address to write to?
I should know that, shouldn't I?
Something Maine.
It's, we're on... Goodwin. We're on North
Goodwin,
WILL Radio. It's in Urbana. The zip code is 61801. The thing I'm stumbling over is what our street address here is on Goodwin Avenue. I can look that up.
But I wanted to mention a quick salad. I hope you haven't said it. Stop me if you
no,
have.
No, no, no. Go ahead.
You know, I think I like the idea of the canned tomatoes, or, you know, that we say canned, but they're bottled, really.
Yes, yes.
In glass.
Yes.
But a tomato salad, you just dice the tomatoes, you know, in bite-sized pieces, and put some salt on them, let them bleed a while,
mm-hmm.
and then put olive oil, red wine vinegar, a good vinegar,
mm-hmm.
of course, good olive oil, and salt and some pepper, a black pepper, and oregano,
yes,
or basil, fresh basil, and you could have lettuce around it too, if you wanted to. And like the gentleman said, dried Italian olive oil, olives, and let that set in the refrigerator for a while.
Oh yes.
And then eat that with some real good Italian. Well, we always eat Italian whole wheat bread.
Uh huh.
And that's hard to come by, and these days. And the other is you can make pasta primavera, which is a quick thing.
Oh yes, that's very quick. Yes.
So those are two quick things.
That's very good. And
my girlfriend and I used to make lettuce and tomato sandwiches. And, romaine or escarole or something.
Yes.
And her father had an Italian bread bakery, and he had the best whole wheat Italian bread.
Oh, yes.
I have to tell you. And we would cut the two slices of bread and the lettuce and tomato and put olive oil and salt and pepper, and we put the sandwich in the refrigerator for a while, and then we'd cut the sandwich in half, and then we'd eat it. It was delicious.
And it would have soaked into the bread and sort of marinated
it. It didn't really soak because you don't put that much
in there. No, but all the juices.
The flavors of the quality.
Yes.
The qualities of the bread, the lettuce. A good lettuce, not head lettuce.
Uh-huh.
And the tomatoes, it just delicious.
Oh, that's good to have those memories. Thank you very much.
And, thanks. Nice to listen
that's
to your
fun.
Program.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
And for anybody who would like to drop us a line and get the recipes we've mentioned or, just say hello or anytime you have you want to get in touch with us, we are at 300 North Goodwin, and it's Campbell Hall is the building. So WILL Radio, Campbell Hall, 300 North Goodwin. We're in Urbana. The zip code is 61801.
Good.
We're just about the point we've got to stop. Anything else you want to mention here before we have to go?
Oh, I don't know. Just the romance of the tomato and to revel in thinking about that. No, I don't. I think I've said everything I want to say.
Will we see you in July? Will you be around?
Yes. Yes, I will be here in July.
All right. Very good. Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our...
August
he's
is going to
about...
be a little thin, though.
Okay.
I may not do August.
Right.
I think I'll be in Wyoming.
Well, look for him again here the first Wednesday in July.
July.
Doyle Moore, he's here once a month, and we always talk about cooking. We have a good time. The program made possible by a grant from the Brown Bag Deli Restaurant, Homemade Pies by Inge, Gourmet Foods, Crafts and Gifts, as well as Creative Crafts, Zimmer Art Gallery, Wacky Nackies, the Bean Scene Cafe, and Prairie Fire Glass, all housed in the same buildings in downtown Monticello. The broadcast also made possible in part by a grant from Strawberry Fields in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields Catering Department now offers boxed lunches for professional meetings or casual lunchtime gatherings. Strawberry Fields, 328-1655. We're going to break for an update on the markets and the news, then we'll be back, so stay tuned.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety is proud to underwrite agricultural programming on WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-3811.